Located on the eastern side of Hawaii Island, the Kilauea volcano began erupting on May 3rd and has since claimed more than 100 structures, dozens of homes, and forced thousands of residents to evacuate. With lava reaching the Pacific Ocean and more than 20 active fissures, life for area residents of the Puna District of Hawaii Island remains uncertain. The Hawaii Community Foundation, together with several generous donors, has established the Hawaii Island Volcano Recovery Fund to assist with recovery efforts and in support of the communities affected by the Kilauea volcano eruption. As the situation evolves, we will bring you stories about the community members who are affected and how we are working closely with the nonprofits and community leaders on the island to get relief where it can help the most. Aloha. I'm Kat Howland, and in this episode, I speak with Diane Chadwick, Director of Community Philanthropy on Hawaii Island. Diane tells us about the first few grants that went out from the Hawaii Island Volcano Recovery Fund and how people on the island are working together. We plan to stay in close communication with Diane and the rest of the team on the island, and we will bring their stories to you. As always, you can learn more about this fund on the HCF website, hawaiicommunityfoundation.org. Take a listen. So hello everybody, I am speaking with Diane Chadwick, HCF's Director of Community Philanthropy on Hawaii Island. And thanks for joining me, Diane. I know it's really busy, you're dealing with a lot on Hawaii Island as a result of the volcano eruptions, and you even flew over to Oahu today to just meet with our Board of Governors and give them an update on how things are going. So just thank you for squeezing us in and creating a little bit of time so we can put some of your thoughts out there on the podcast.
Well, thanks. Hi, Kat.
Hi. So, you know, I know that we have a fund that has that we started up a little over a week ago, I think, is when it was actually established. And there were a few donors that came together on that. Can you tell us a bit about how that came together?
Well, you know, we have some really wonderful donors on our island, people that I've been working with for a long time. I've been on the island for 18 years now. And I just sent out emails, and I got responses back immediately. So there were, actually, we announced four funds that had given, but another fund came in another day later. So I have a lot of good people who are willing to help others.
That's great. Yeah. You want to give a shout out to anybody?
Sure. We have the Anderson Beck Fund, Jack's Fund, the Darren and Darian G Family Fund, and the Deviants from the Norm Fund.
That's great. So thank you so much to all of those generous donors, and also to the many, many others who are giving online. And we've even had folks in the office, you know, who work here at HCF give out of their own pockets and from their own families.
Yes, we have. It's just a lot of generosity.
Yeah. So can you, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about what it's like on the island right now. Can you describe a bit of that for our listeners and really just paint that picture so we have an understanding?
Well, I think that we're not seeing we don't see the lava. I mean, we see the lava on TV, but you can't get through that area only if you live there. So, and it's fabulous, the lava. But what you see is the people that are kind of really in limbo. And, you know, out of about 2,000 people that have been evacuated, there are only about 300 in the shelter. So, you know, 1,700 people have been absorbed into the community. Mm-hmm. They're living with family and friends and people who have just opened their doors to take people in. But people are in limbo because they don't know if they're, some people know their houses have been destroyed, but others, their houses are still there. They just have to wait till the sulfur dioxide clears. And so they're just hanging around, not sure if they should rent a new place or hang out. It's kind of a, you know, situation. They don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah. So it's great that the community, that many people in the community have been able to expand, to take in friends and family. That's fabulous, but that's also not a long-term
solution. No, it gets wearing on families to have, you know, another household in your household. We've been hearing that people are, you know, wanting to move, make different arrangements if they can.
Right.
Yeah.
Any stories or people that you know have been personally affected that you can share with us?
Well, I know a friend of my daughter-in-law's, a couple of friends, where they've lost their farms, they've lost homes that they just built. Another friend had lost a family home where she grew up and was married in, and now it's gone.
Don't chase.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before about how, you know, in the national coverage, there really is a separation between the eruption and the people that are affected. So I think it's important that we that we have these conversations and really illustrate the impact on the community that we're having. So thank you.
Right. Well, we actually are learning more and more as time goes on. As I say, the families, the people that are living with families and need to make other arrangements, the people who are at the shelters and need to decide if they're going to, you know, find other shelters. So it's developing over the weeks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like the situation is changing day by day.
Right.
So when you and I spoke the first time, a little over a week ago, you told me there was a group of nonprofits on the island who have been meeting to collaborate for years. So this group has been coming together for a long time. Mm-hmm. But now with the volcano erupting, the group is getting together for another reason, and HCF has been at the table. What can you tell us about this collaboration?
This is a fabulous group. They're the Community Alliance Partners, and they've been meeting for years around homelessness. And they actually, you know, kind of kicked into gear to address the issue when Tropical Storm Izelle came through. And they really pulled together and got a lot of relief coordinated. And because of that experience, they have learned lessons about what they would do the next time. So when this happened, they immediately began to, you know, do the things that they had thought would be improvements on their plan. So one of the things was to get an immediate request for assistance out. And they all came to the table, they talked to each other, they agree. So instead of having to go to different agencies for help, you really just have that one request form, and then they're centralizing that, and then they share the information and hand it over to the appropriate organization. So you don't have to talk to a lot of people, just one person, and then you can receive assistance.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. And how did it help you to be at the table with this group when you were understanding about what's needed in the community?
Well, what's so helpful is that in one place, I can hear what's happening with the food, you know, preparation and service by the Salvation Army. I can hear what needs the food basket is having. I can hear what's happening with people needing counseling. And so in that one meeting, I can hear a lot of different things, and people are sharing information. So, for example, the Hui Malama Olanaoivi said that they would expand their medical transportation to include anybody who needs it. And the Red Cross said, well, we've been having people ask us for, you know, helping them to get to doctor's appointments or go pick up medication. So right there at the table, they were able to get together and say, okay, let's talk after the meeting and work this out.
That's
so
great.
It's a great spot for people to share that resource and for me to hear, you know, who's doing what, so that I know, okay, we don't need to take care of that because it's being taken care of by another group.
Right, right. So then HCF doesn't support something that's, you know, duplicating an effort that's already out there.
Right.
But then also, as you're thinking through with the rest of HCF's leadership, where to direct grants to help people immediately and then, you know, into the future, you know where the gaps are.
I do. And so what's happening, too, is that I hear about it at the meeting, and then I talk to them more in depth after the meeting to, you know, tease out what it is that really is needed for their organization and for the work that they're doing in the community.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So within a few, I don't know, it was probably within a week of the fund being created, we had a couple of grants go out. We have many more that are in process.
Right.
What can you tell us about those first couple of grants that have gone out and how they're really starting to impact people already?
Well, the first grant was actually made to the neighborhood place of Puna. And as I say, during Izelle, that organization served as the coordinating role. And so they were ready to do it again. They had used a software previously that helped them to be able to see how each other are responding to requests for assistance. So if somebody comes in and is helped by the Child and Family Service, the others know, okay, that person has been taken care of. Or they can say, well, they need housing and they need financial assistance. And so they would be referred to the different agencies, but they could both see what was being provided. And so we made a grant to the neighborhood place of Puna to be able to purchase the software that they're using, and then also to provide a caseworker who spends her time just making sure that all those requests are being entered and then referred out and follows up to make sure that they're, you know, being addressed.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
There was another grant that went out for laundry, related to laundry. Talk about that.
Yeah, that was a great one. And it happened so quickly. I got a call from Puna Baptist Church, and they said that the laundrette, Suds and Duds, in Pahoa, was, you know, that there's a lot of people who need to do their laundry. And these people left their homes, like, you know, within a matter of a few minutes. And a lot of them didn't bring very much with them. There's a lot of clothing being offered at distribution centers. But, you know, if those people have been in those shelters for 3 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need to do your laundry.
Yeah.
And so the church members, they with the Suds and Duds Laundrette, they set up a voucher system. And the laundry is being offered at a discounted price. And the church members are taking the vouchers, going and visiting people and giving them the vouchers. And then when they go and turn it in, it gets paid for by the church. So the church asked for assistance. So we made a grant to them to help pay for those vouchers.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. And I'm just so glad to hear that, you know, relief is going out quickly, right? That
right.
Those funds came together quickly. As soon as the need was, you know, verbalized, the funds came together, and then the grants are starting to go out. And I believe close to a third of what we've raised have gone out already, has gone out
right,
already.
Right. And we just made a decision on another grant just now, a couple
okay.
minutes ago.
Wow. So, okay.
So we will be supporting the food basket has
okay.
been stretched thin. Mm-hmm. They've just been making a lot of deliveries of food. And they have a lot of food that's been coming in. They need to sort it. They put it into pallets. They take it out to the distribution site. So they've really been going 24 hours a day practically with their staff. And so we're going to be helping them.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've seen some statistics recently just that we've been circulating among our team members about how long it truly takes to recover after this kind of upheaval for a community. You know, that for each day of a disaster, there's a certain, you know, number of days of long-term recovery. It's something like one day of disaster equals 10 days of actual
right.
recovery time. So,
and this disaster is 3 weeks. So.
Right. It's yeah. ongoing. So it will take years for the communities to fully recover and for the people affected to fully recover. And so, you know, so I just can't emphasize enough how important it is for us to keep telling these stories and talking about where people can go to give. So our website, HawaiiCommunityFoundation.org, is one place where people
right,
can give.
Right. They can send checks in, too, mm-hmm. to 827 Fort Street Mall.
That's it.
In
yes.
Honolulu,
yep.
96813.
Look at you. Yes, that's right. And then the other thing that folks can do is if they're AT&T cell phone customers, they can text the word volcano to the phone number 50555.
Okay.
So 50555, yeah. and that'll put a $10 donation right into the fund.
Wow. And we've had a lot of people calling businesses that want to help fundraise and mm-hmm. And we also have, what is that one? Oh, well, you know, Apple had the Benvity that they wanted to list it on.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. Oh, I know. There's a Hawaiian Civic Club in Florida that contacted Bank of Hawaii, and Bank of Hawaii referred them to us. And so
wow.
they're going to be sending contributions in also. So all over the country, people are aware. They don't really see the people in need as much as they see the, you know, magnificent lava.
Right.
Spouting out of the ground, but people are just kind of hanging around wondering what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
It just gave me chills as you were talking about, you know, a community of people from Hawaii and Florida, you know, that
yes.
want to give, that are thinking about giving, and it
yeah.
really does sort of expand our concept of community at the Hawaii Community
right.
Foundation to really
right.
being a national and a global community and people who care.
It is. Yeah. Well, people love Hawaiians. They love Hawaii, so you know, a lot of people have connection to Hawaii, and so
right.
that really is helpful, and we really appreciate that people are helping from all over. I mean, the people on the island kicked in to gear immediately. There were people driving supplies over, you know, the next day, and it's
right.
been a big, lot of outpour of real generosity.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about the community there, how people are coming together, or... anything else you want to add?
Well, I do want to say that, you know, a lot of people don't see the behind the scenes of what the government does do and what the nonprofits are doing. And when I sit at that table and I see, they come to every meeting and they have done a lot of work in between meetings to work with different, they've been working with hotels, they've worked with the university, they're working with HPM, the churches are all gathering together. And every time they meet, they have, you know, they're moving farther along, they're finding locations to do temporary housing. So there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes between all of the government agencies and the nonprofits that, you know, it's impressive.
Right, right. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
a huge undertaking.
Right. And people have really thrown themselves into it. You know, I'm getting emails and phone calls at all hours. I'm sure everybody is.
Right. Well, thank mm-hmm. you so much for everything that you're doing for the community there and for being willing, again, to sit down and talk with us and share with us about how things are going. And I hope we can keep this conversation going.
Okay. We'll be ready to give you an update.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
To support the Hawaii Island Volcano Recovery Fund at HCF, please visit hawaiicommunityfoundation.org.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.